Senate Bill 73, an act to require insurers to disclose certain provisions with regard to usual, customary, and reasonable charges.
Senate Bill 73, having had its second reading, is up for final consideration. Are there any remarks? Senator Broz.
Thank you, Madam President, members of the Senate. Senate Bill 73 is what I will classify as a consumer awareness bill. What we are attempting to do in Senate Bill 73 is to make it possible for the people that are buying an insurance policy to be made aware that in that policy will be a phrase that will say it has usual, customary, and reasonable charges that it will pay. What happens when individuals buy insurance, they may have a deductible, and let's just use a $2,000 deductible policy. If their health costs would be $10,000, you subtract the $2,000, which is deductible, and the insured then feels that they would receive $8,000 paid by the insurance company. However, if the insurance company feels that those charges are out of line, they then will refuse to pay that $8,000 based on the phrase that will say usual, customary, and reasonable. And so therefore, if they feel, according to the charts, et cetera, that they have, they would not have to pay that $8,000. How important is this? Well, in a short week's time, I had received two people that were very concerned that they said they were not aware that this was in their policy and that they were being asked to pay for some medical costs that were fairly high. I believe the key to the bill is on line 8. And on line 8, we see there where it says prominent disclosure. The prominent disclosure, of course, would mean that the agent who is selling this policy would make sure that the person they're selling it to would understand that there may be out-of-the-pocket expenses, that not necessarily will that all be paid by the insurance company. I believe if you look on line 10, the phrase there that says significant out-of-pocket expenses would also lead them to believe that this could be more than just a nickel-and-dime operation. And then if you go to line 11, there is one important thing that we ask for them to disclose, that they can tell the client that there may be other policies out there that do not have the phrase reasonable, customary, and usual amounts. With that, I believe that we can look at this bill as a first step. And the first step, if this is not sufficient, in order that our citizens are still not aware of what their costs may be, then of course we can look into it further. But I would advise and suggest that we do try this to begin with.
Further remarks? Hearing none.
Madam President.
Senator Rounds.
Madam President, ladies and gentlemen of the Senate. You know, I get to looking at the bills that we've got today, and I think I've gone about 3 days in a row without standing on a bill, and today I find myself one bill after another. Let me please explain my concern with Senate Bill 73. The terminology that's in here 2 years ago or 3 years ago would have been appropriate when we talk about usual and customary and reasonable limitations, because that's the type of insurance policies that we had then. They were major medical insurance policies. And these major medical insurance policies would agree to pay that which was considered a usual and customary amount. Here's my dilemma in this particular case. I do not disagree with the need to make it very clear that these policies should say whether they are, that they pay for a usual and customary and so forth. But here's what's happened. Over the last 2 to 3 years, a significant number of the new policies that we issue in South Dakota do not necessarily use the terms usual and customary. What they use are terminology involving managed care and in-contract or out-of-contract services. And so what you have is this. Instead of having somebody looking at whether it is usual and customary, the insurance companies are now issuing policies, and based upon whether you use a service provider who is under contract with them, under what they call a prepaid contract, you can have just a single copay, a $15 office visit. But you might also, unfortunately, find out that you have no provisions within the contract at all that say anything about usual and customary, but what they do is say out of contract. And if you don't follow their contract, the hit is significant. It can start out with a $1,000 deductible. This does not address that issue. Usual and customary is what insurance policies used to use. So contracts that were in effect in 1990, 91, 92, and being issued at that time absolutely did use usual and customary as the determining factor. The problem that we have is these new contracts try to do it with prepaid services or prepaid provider services. The major insurers in this state have agreements with groups of doctors. And if you do it within their network, in-network and out-of-network, if you do it in-network, you don't have a deductible in a lot of cases. All you have is a one-time charge. And that might include a one-time charge that includes all of the lab services, the doctor's call, and so forth. But if you do it out-of-network, you start out with a real significant hit. $1,000 is not, the state of South Dakota's plan is a very good example of that. But it doesn't have anything to do anymore with usual and customary. And so my concern with the bill is that while it is very well intended, it's not on the mark anymore. The issues that are on the mark now have to do with whether or not you're in network or out of network. Because if you're in network, you're not going to have anything except perhaps a small copay. But if you're out of network, which this bill does nothing that I can see, and please tell me if I'm wrong, this bill does nothing to take care of that. And that's what's happening to these people. They're walking in, they're going to a doctor who might not be in network, and they're getting one heck of a bill. The bill, as a matter of fact, might be from a physician who would fall under the qualifications of usual and customary. But he's not part of the network, therefore there is no coverage up to the deductible in the plan. And so I understand what Senator Groves is trying to do with the bill. I have to tell you that I don't believe that it hits the mark. Thank you.
Further remarks. Hearing Senator Groves.
Madam President. Insurance sales 101. I guess, is what I just went through. Learned a lot about insurance. I think what we were talking about there is we are into managed care, which I will admit is different than, let's say, the individual agent going to a individual to sell them an insurance policy. And it does happen. Now, if the phrase or the term of the usual, customary, and real costs are no longer used, there's probably a substitute. I would guess if that substitute that they're using still means the same as, that should that go into court, and by the way, I know of a case where they went to court and did happen to win on this, but the court costs and so on and the lawyer fees were very expensive for a person that absolutely had no money. And so if we can in some way, the individual, not in the managed care, but just the individual policy, be able to know that this is there. They always claim we didn't know it. I visualize it as probably like when we rent a car. They ask, do you want a liability insurance policy for that rental? And you say no, and they say, would you please initial this box? I envision that. However, there are other ways that the insurance companies could do it. And just so that you're aware, our insurance department, when I asked them about this, did mention that, yes, they do get complaints. And in 1999, they received 65 complaints on this very issue. And I will also say there was like a 1,200 total complaints they received, 65 on this issue, which means that we had 65 people that hopefully we could make them aware and help them.
Further remarks. Senator Whiting.
Madam President, members of the body, I think the bill does two positive things. First, it alerts the potential insured that the insurance that he's buying may very well not cover his entire costs, his entire medical costs. I think that needs to be done. It's a bit of a sunshine type provision. The second thing it does, it alerts him to the fact that maybe he ought to shop, that there are possible alternatives out there that where he would not be or where he would be fully covered. We know that those alternatives are fairly limited. They probably would only be in group plans or managed care plans, but nevertheless, they're out there. I think I'm probably a typical insurance buyer, and I know I go to a company that for one reason or another I've done business with, and I tend to assume that all companies are offering basically the same coverage. This bill would provide that there would be an alert that there may be companies out there that do not have this restriction on medical coverage. I think those are two sort of sunshine provisions that are worth having in our policies.
Further remarks?
Madam President.
Senator Hutmacher.
Thank you, Madam President. Well, I understand what Senator Rose is trying to do here, and I think that it's probably honorable what he is trying to do, but I'm not sure we're getting to the heart of the problem. We should maybe post the sign in the doctor's office that said that our charges may exceed what your insurance company pays, so that when you go in, you can check on that before you're in there. I doubt that many people are going to do that, but that's really where the root of the problem is at, because many providers charge different rates. Some are better than others, some are doing more things than others, and the charges are different in different areas. And I think that's where we really need to do is get the advertising out there and have the providers post that.
Further remarks? Senator Runs. Oh, I'm sorry, Senator Kochek. Go ahead. No.
Madam President, I think Senator Hutmacher hit on part of what the problem is, except that even trying to have a local physician or provider post would not do what we're trying to do, because these providers put together different contracts with different healthcare insurers or plans. If you require that each policy now issued within the state simply say that it's subject to usual and reasonable and customary, they can put in the limitation and people can look and say, gee, are they subject to usual and customary? And you can look around and find out whether or not your physician provides usual and customary. But that's not where the expenses are at. The expenses are at, even with physicians who are within what they call usual and customary charges, they're not within a contract. And if they're not within a contract, that's where these problems are developing. Because the insurance companies, if you go to a physician who is under contract, they have a discounted rate back to the provider, back to the company, to the insurance company. If you don't go to one of your contracted physicians, he might very well have a usual and customary, but under your contract with the insurance company, they don't have to pay it. That's where the problem is. It's whether or not, and this is the part that needs to be identified within the policies, is your policy is limited by who you go to. And the PPOs that are out there, and they're all over the state of South Dakota, and the major carriers all issue them, it is not a matter of usual and customary anymore. It is a matter of whether or not you have gone to a physician who is under contract and has a deal put together with your insurance company. That's where the problems are. And so simply by saying usual and customary, and I recognize Senator Brose is absolutely correct, there was a problem with that. And the earlier problem was that people were saying usual and customary, just as is in this bill. But in the early 1990s, you could have 9 different insurance companies and 9 different interpretations as to what usual and customary is, and the bill does not address that. Because usual and customary is based upon what number of physicians in the area consider that to be the right bill to pay. If you got 10 physicians out there and 9 of them say that this particular office visit is worth $50 and one of them says it's worth more, the 90th percentile says the company will pay $50. But another company will say it's the 85th percentile. Another one will say the 95th. Usual and customary is not a defined term in determining what the rates are. And so with all due respect to the sponsor and for the goodwill he's trying to put together on this bill, it doesn't do what we expect it to do. Thank you.
Madam President.
Further remarks, Senator Flowers.
Senator Rounds, let me give you this scenario because I had it happen. A few years ago, my wife had a little health problem, and at that point in time, we were with Dakota Care, which is kind of like an HMO. And she needed some services in Sioux Falls, and my doctor called down there and got this appointment with this specialty doctor. And we went down there, and they had to do some surgery, or they didn't do any surgery, they had to do some tests and whatever on her. So after this was all done, you know, you start getting your bills, and you get these copies of the bills, and they say, disregard this because it's just a notice and it's getting paid. And finally, one day, I get a check. And I, well, what in the world is this for, you know? So I told my wife, I said, well, put it in a bank. One of these days, somebody's going to want it. And when I get done getting all these bills and I get down to the last one, that's going to be probably the one. Well, I kept getting these bills, and I finally got down to one bill, but it was still way more than what my check was. And so finally I called down there, and I talked to the secretary of the doctor, and I said, now, why are you keep sending me this bill when I'm covered with insurance? And she said to me, well, we don't accept Dakota Care rates. Well, I said, you didn't tell me that when I came in, which you probably should have done. But I said, I got this check at home here, and I said, I'll tell you what I'll do with you. I will send you that check, but I'm not paying you anymore because you should have told me, or at least I thought you should have, because I said, I didn't know one. There's all kinds of specialty doctors down there, and I said, I would have taken the one that accepted Dakota Care. Now, my question is, how does this affect this bill, or how would this bill have affected my situation?
Senator Rouse.
Madam President. Senator, thank you for the question. I am only speculating based upon past history regarding those situations. I don't know about yours in particular, but I will tell you this. If they have a contract where they have agreed to accept a certain amount, it's a discounted rate, and if this physician did not have that under contract with them, it is not a usual and customary issue. It is an in-contract or in-network versus out-of-network issue. And this bill would have done absolutely nothing to assist you in that situation, because the physician that you went to very well was within the usual and customary rates for a lot of insurance companies, but they were not within the network, thereby agreeing to a reduced rate with that particular company.
Madam President.
Senator Flowers.
Thank you, Senator Rounds, for that information, because I think that's what I was, at least I thought that's what the situation was. They cut a deal, but they didn't, not all the doctors in that field accepted that. Their customary rate was somewhat higher. And that's what this bill would say, customary.
Further remarks, Senator Klocek.
Madam President, well, I believe with all my heart that the Honorable Senator Brose and Honorable Senator Rounds are telling the truth, and I know they are. And they give us a different perspective on a very important issue. But I'd like to give you a little history, anyway, as this farm boy from Scotland sees it. Several years ago, we went to Washington, D.C., and we researched this bill, and Senator Simmons has told me many times, do your homework, Senator Klocek, do your homework. So we went there, and we went to the Democratic Leadership Group or whatever, and they had a bunch of bills they're going to run as Managed Care Bill of Rights, Consumers Health Care Bill of Rights. And I went to the Republican side, and they had some issues on managed care rights and issues on that side. We went down to Kansas City to one of the Midwest Legislative Conference. They had an issue there. We went to the Idaho law and looked at that bill. We came with a comprehensive bill that had about 14 key points in it, including a provision, ladies and gentlemen, of the Senate that said any willing provider. And I think that's the issue that we needed to address, and we continue to reject that this body and the other body that would address Senator Rounds and Senator Brose's concerns on fair payment, and it certainly addressed Senator Flowers' problems that we do not have that legislation. And as you know, that bill went on, and Representative Hunt put a similar bill in. They went into a summer study, and then they were all chopped up like chicken liver on a Saturday noon lunch, and came out as, I believe, 7 or 8 separate bills. And now this body has went together and put them back into one comprehensive package in code this year. So eventually some of us get what we want, but maybe not as much as we want. So, Senator Brose, if I'm going to err, I'm going to err on the side of the consumer and throw you a vote today. But I would hope that this body would look at any willing provider legislation or something very similar to it to address the concerns and problems that Senator Flowers and thousands of South Dakotans have had, including myself and others, on this very issue. Thank you, Madam President, and our members of the body.
Further remarks? Hearing none, the question before the Senate is final consideration of Senate Bill 73. As your name is called, those in favor say aye. Those opposed, nay. The Secretary will call the roll.
Senator Albers.
Aye.
Benson. Bogue.
Aye.
Rose.
Aye.
Brown.
Aye.
Dugard.
Aye.
Dennard.
Aye.
Drake.
Aye.
Dun Jim.
No.
Dun Rebecca.
Yeah.
Duxbury.
No.
Everest.
Aye.
Flowers.
No.
Frederick. Hangey,
no.
Halverson,
no.
Ham,
no.
Huttmacher,
no.
Cleven, Klochek,
aye.
Lang,
no.
Lawler,
aye.
Madden,
no.
Moore,
no.
Munson, Olson,
aye.
Paisley,
aye.
Reedy,
aye.
Rounds,
no.
Schoner,
aye.
Staggers,
no.
Simmons, Belandra,
aye.
Vitter, Whiting,
aye.
Senator Dunn Rebecca.
Aye.
Madam President, ayes 20, nays 15.
Senate Bill 73 has received a majority vote of the members elect and is declared passed. Are there questions on its title? Hearing none, the title is deemed correct.